This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to the show. I think you've noticed that when you look out your window that there's a beautiful waxing gibbous moon, as opposed to a waning gibbous moon. Gibbous, of course, being between the quarter moon or half moon. And oddly enough, the quarter and half moon mean the same thing. That's got to be a unique situation. Well, maybe not. I get the quarter of $1 trillion and $500 billion seems to be about the same thing when they talk about budget deficits. But anyway, beautiful moon. The days are getting longer already. You can see this since the earliest sunrise of the year, which we mentioned some time ago, occurs in early December. We've got now, oh my gosh, 5-6 weeks now to have later sunsets, and it's really showing. Should be making your drive home a little more bright. I reported last week that Esquire magazine, unfortunately, appeared to have discontinued its Dubious Achievements of the Year award. Having said that, I thought, you know, I should just make absolutely sure. So I left the studio, went over to the corral here at UCD's Memorial Union and checked. And sure enough, January edition of Esquire did not have Dubious Achievements. But to my surprise and delight, Esquire thought better of abandoning this 40-year-old tradition. And the February issue contains the Dubious Achievements for 2002. Which is the kind of thing we like to do here on the lighter side of public affairs type broadcasting. We've had some kind of heavy segments in the past couple weeks. So let's do some lighter fare, I think, today. And what better way to do it than with Esquire? All right. Now, if you've seen these issues, you know that sometimes the funniest thing is the caption that they put onto the news story. These are all actual news stories that took place in the last year. Item: one of the hottest videos for sale on the internet is Bum Fights, which features real homeless people fighting each other and being pushed down cement stairs in a shopping cart. Unbelievable. Of course, Esquire captions it, "It's good to see Mickey Rourke working again." All right, item: California police said actor Nick Nolte was drooling and completely out of it when they pulled him over for driving erratically. Prosecutors contend Nolte was under the influence of the date rape drug GHB, which Esquire captions next to a picture of a befuddled, disheveled Nick Nolte. They caption it, "Yet oddly, no one tried to take advantage of him." Who says that public affairs broadcasting can't be fun? This is my kind of stuff. Because these are real stories, and I think we just, you know, have to sit back and enjoy some of the lighter things in life. All right, story. And we told you about this one a few weeks back. It was cited by Esquire in their Dubious Achievements of the Year to attract younger viewers to CNN headline news. The producers urged the use of slang such as fly, ill, and Jimmy hat in its on-screen headlines and tickers, which Esquire captions, "Bush to bust cap in Saddam." News item: among ousted Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski's questionable business expenses was a Roman-themed birthday party that featured an ice sculpture of a Michelangelo's David whose penis streamed Stoli vodka into crystal glasses, which Esquire captions in questionable taste, "Much classier than Enron's chocolate mousse dispensing thinker." Okay, item: after passing out and scraping his face because he choked on a pretzel, President Bush said, quote, "My mother always said, when you're eating pretzels, chew before you swallow," unquote, which Esquire captioned somewhere between, "Don't you have work to do?" and "That's your last beer tonight, mister." All right, news item. Apparently, in his reelection, in quotation marks, campaign, Saddam Hussein's TV and radio advertising included use of Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You." Unbelievable. Then they have a little photo picture showing John Ashcroft standing in front of the statue of the Justice Department symbol of liberty. And the caption, the item true story, was Attorney General John Ashcroft's staff had $8,000 drapes hung in the Justice Department's Great Hall to cover up a partially nude statue depicting a bare-breasted woman, which Esquire captioned, "To be fair, they were distracting him from eviscerating the Bill of Rights." All right. Now, you think this one comes from Australia. You think it's we make fun of lawyers. We have great fun poking fun of our legal system and what lawyers seem to get away with in this country. But Australia has one-upped them on this story. An Australian man was awarded $34,000 after he slipped on the floor of a Sydney inn, which was made greasy by a pair of shoes worn by a man named Ross Lukoc. Lukoc's shoes were made of pork chops. Lukoc had been refused service for being barefooted, so he taped a pair of pork chops to his feet and went back in. Unbelievable. All right, news item. While reporting in Afghanistan, Geraldo Rivera revealed that he was carrying a gun and said he would be tempted to kill Osama bin Laden if they ever met in person, which Esquire captioned, or worse, interview him. Let's see. Reacting to what he felt was an attack on him by CNN's Aaron Brown, Fox News correspondent Geraldo Rivera said, "This is a guy who would poop in his pants if he was anywhere near what I was near in Afghanistan." Which Esquire captioned, "You gotta watch out for the prune Danish at the Kabul Hilton's media buffet." All right, this one I don't think, I can't really read the Esquire headline on it because it's obscene, but it deserves to be obscene because the item is as follows. When admitting to past sexual encounters with several boys under age 14, retired Roman Catholic priest Robert Burkholder defended himself by saying their relationships were consensual, pointing out, "It takes two to tango." We have any boo hiss sound effects we can add to that, Mr. McMillan? Anyway, let's see. Nixon. For years, Esquire published the same photo of Nixon with his mouth agape, looking elated, and it was always captioned, "Why is this man laughing?" And of course, they can't resist publishing four more photos, Nixon in that same pose, that same famous picture, with excerpts from audio tapes from the Nixon White House, which were recently released, with Nixon saying some of the following things, which, it's hard to believe this guy was president. Nixon, "You ever see what happened? You know what happened to those Greeks? Homosexuality destroyed them." "Sure. Aristotle was a homo. We all know that. So was Socrates." Let's see. "You know, it's a funny thing," Nixon said. "Every one of the bastards that's out for legalizing marijuana is Jewish. What the Christ the matter with the Jews, Bob? What's the matter with them? I suppose it's because most of them are psychiatrists." Leader of the free world speaking. Let's see, what else? "Still obsessed with homosexuality. The last six Roman emperors were fags," said Nixon. "The last six. The Russians, damn it. They root them out. They don't let them around at all. You know what I mean? I don't know what they do with them. Dope? You think the Russians allowed dope? Hell no." I don't know what Nixon's deal was with homosexuality. I do know that when he was president, he was always out on the presidential yacht, Sequoia, tooling around the Bahamas with his best friends, the described Cuban American, Miami millionaire, Charles B.B. Rebozo. Now, B.B. Rebozo was one of the more notable and, I guess, out in the open homosexuals in the Miami Cuban community. Now, why Nixon spent so much time with B.B., his supposed best friend on the boat, I don't know. I have some doubts about old Tricky Dick. Let's see, news item. The Catholic Church gave medical leave in 1990 to priest and accused child molester Paul R. Shanley to move to Palm Springs, California, it was revealed, where he bought the Cabana Club, a gay hotel. Later on in the same article, Esquire cites the story, Virginia couple was charged with public lewdness after they were inspired by radio DJs in New York to have sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral. Which Esquire captioned, "Oh, sure, when the priests do it, they get a trip to Palm Springs." All right, an item we told you about. Exactly 6 months after September 11th, the INS approved student visa applications for Mohammed Atta and Marwan al-Hehi, two of the hijackers who flew jetliners into the World Trade Center. which Esquire captioned, John Allen Muhammad's gun permit is due any day now. All right. No, it isn't just confined to Australia. Here's the American legal system in action here. A 37-year-old woman sued the manufacturer of Pirate's Booty Corn Puffs for her emotional distress, mental anguish, outrage, and indignation after it was reported that while the label said the snack contained only 2.5 grams of fat per serving, it in fact contained 8.5 grams, which Esquire captioned, even worse, they're not actually made by pirates. All right, two more items from Esquire's Dubious Achievements of the Year Award. After the United States acknowledged that a special forces raid on an Afghan village in January killed 16 Afghans who weren't members of the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, General Tommy Frank said he would not characterize it as a failure of any type, which Esquire captioned, I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a spectacular success like My Lai or anything. All right, and finally, the morning after a suicide bombing in Israel, President Bush was golfing and told reporters, I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now, watch this drive, which Esquire captioned, no headline required. I think not. All right, that was fun. Now, we're proud to report that Radio Parallax was ahead of the curve on a breaking news story. We were 6 months ahead, it seems, on the issue of missing Beatles tapes. Last July, we aired an interview with Sir Paul McCartney, who discussed the issue of some Beatles recordings that had been missing for decades. Sir Paul told us about a session he was keen to find. He'd heard that our Hollywood correspondent was claiming to have a valuable tape, and McCartney'd hoped it was the long-lost session that was so dear to his heart. Evidently, during one jam session, Elvis, Bob Dylan, and Jimi Hendrix dropped by. Unfortunately, afterwards, it seems that Yoko Ono erased the tape and wanted to put out a two-hour album of silence, thinking that the audience could hear the music in their head more effectively. And alas, our Hollywood agent did not have that cherished jam session. He did have a session that McCartney listened to for us. McCartney did authenticate that tape for us, but said he was very sorry that it still exists at all. We were hoping to speak to the former Beatle when he came to Sacramento last fall for a concert, but we were not able to hook up, unfortunately. But now there's been a story out of London this last week that a raid in England and the Netherlands have netted what could be 500 original Beatles tapes from the 1970s, including some never-released tracks. So far, five people have been arrested. Now, these tapes contain what were known as the Get Back sessions, slated to be an album in 1969, but sidetracked by creative differences. Some of the material later became a part of the Let It Be album. Here to discuss the ongoing tale of tape skullduggery is Paul McCartney.
Am I on?
You're on the air, Sir Paul.
Lovely.
We're sorry that we didn't get through to you when you came to town.
And that was in San Antonio, was it?
No, Sacramento, California. You played Arco Arena here last October 21st.
Oh, I remember now. I remember. My manager had you mixed up with some small fry college station that kept pestering us.
I see.
I got nothing against the kids at university, but I've better things to do than chat up some of these goofy DJs trying to outdo that wanker in New York.
Don Imus?
No. The creep who looks like something the cat dragged in, you know. Who gets the birds with the silicone boobies to strip for him?
Oh, Howard Stern.
Yeah, it seems every kid in school wants to take the mickey out of me like that bloody fool.
Well, that's too bad.
Now, it was funny when Chris Farley did that bit.
Like when he asked you, remember the White Album?
Right, and I said I did.
And then Farley remarks, that was awesome.
Well, that was a funny bit, Doug, but do you know how spot on that really is in real life?
Well, I shudder to think, but we're not like that.
Now, let me remember, you're the big 60,000-watt voice of the West, right? The one I can hear in Frisco?
Yep, that's us.
Well, you want to talk tapes, do you?
We do.
Well, I'm excited. I'm all chopped up, you know, about this new find. You know, we talked years ago about the new Beatles songs we were going to make using some of John's recordings.
Like you and George and Ringo did with that song Free as a Bird.
Exactly, yeah. You know, we had got a hold of John's old answering machine tapes. You know, it was way back in the early 70s when they first came out with those machines. And we were ready to record two new tracks.
Which were?
I'm Not Home Right Now, and I'll Call You Back. But, you know, we're still at sixes and sevens over it.
I'm guessing George's illness interfered.
Oh, no. We did them. We did both of them before poor George got too ill.
Well, why aren't they released?
Well, Yoko said since the phone bill was in her name, she wants billing. Can you imagine?
Well, does she appear on the track?
Mate, she'd appear on the track over the cold dead body. And she won't budge over recrediting Yesterday as McCartney Lennon. It's not a huge point. But that song was one of mine, you know.
Well, why would Yoko want any billing at all?
Well, when John made the tape, he was plucking the guitar, having a spot of fun, you know. And while he's fooling around, way off in the background, you hear Yoko saying, "Here, kitty, 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 here, kit, kit, kit," as only she could.
That's on the tape.
You can hardly hear it, dog. And, you know, and she meows several times, too. Oh, I don't want to forget that. But it's barely audible. I mean, give me a break. Now she claims she was an integral part of the creative process. Bloody hell. And I don't know why she won't budge on giving me McCartney Lennon credit on a few tracks. What's the big deal? Does it matter if it's Rodgers and Hammerstein or Hammerstein and Rodgers?
Well, what about these Get Back sessions?
Well, I'm very, very pleased, you know. I expect we'll have several new songs out of them.
Do you recall any of them?
I believe we did a kind of sequel to Helter Skelter, one that tries to clarify things a bit.
So you're to eliminate some confusion for ringleaders of murderous hippie cults.
Yeah, you know, I don't get how Manson took it to kill people and start a race war. I mean, that was the furthest thing from me mind.
Oh, you wrote that one.
Well, Doug, why hog the credit, really? I mean, John and I work so closely, and I don't want to imply that I alone wrote that song.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, there's just no accounting for psychotic thinking.
Well, you know, the new tapes do include a catchy track of Ringo's that I think will make people smile.
Is it one he wrote?
No. It's a cover of Chuck Berry's Almost Grown. You know, whoa, almost grown, whoa. You know, it's one you'd call cute in America. Oh. Listen, dog, I've got to go. Me bride's calling me. She says the salad's ready.
Well, Sir Paul McCartney, thank you for coming again.
It's my pleasure.
And as we find out more about this treasure trove of songs, perhaps you can come back to talk to us here at KDV, the big 60,000-watt voice of the West.
Well, I'd love to. I must shove off now, though.
Okay. Is he gone? Okay. You're really listening to Radio Parallax on KDVS Davis 90.3 FM, the big 9,200-watt voice of the West.
I heard that.
Let's take a break.